produced and distributed by the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws in Washington, D.C. This is your daily audio stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Daily Audio Stash is where responsible marijuana smokers listen in on the latest news about cannabis, hear the voices of the marijuana law reform movement in special segments and interviews, and kick back with comedy and music no other podcast can offer. It's Normal's Daily Audio Stash. More information at normalaudiostash.com.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson from Normal. For 30 years, Normal has provided a voice for the millions of Americans who smoke marijuana responsibly. More than 500,000 Americans are arrested each year for smoking pot. These are ordinary citizens like you and me whose lives and careers are being needlessly destroyed. To learn how you can help, contact Normal at www.norml.org or call toll-free at 888-67-NORML.
First up today, it's news from Normal. Our news today. Marijuana symbol becomes free speech icon. Advocates of marijuana law reform across the world have often shown their support for change with a simple and nearly universally recognized symbol, a marijuana plant leaf. Found on the cover of dozens of magazines, newspapers, as well as in television and music, the symbol is often embroidered into clothing, made into stickers, hats, and even tattoos. But cases in the United States and the Philippines are putting the marijuana leaf at the center of freedom of speech debates. This week, during the start of the federal trial of a California medical marijuana grower, Dustin Costa, the government prosecutor in the case, Karen Escobar, motioned to the judge that supporters of Costa could not wear buttons or t-shirts in support of medical marijuana legalization in the courtroom because it may influence the jury. In response, Costa's defense attorney, Robert Rainwater, pointed out that Escobar was wearing a lanyard with DEA printed clearly on it for the Drug Enforcement Administration, which could bias a jury in the opposite direction. Rainwater questioned why the federal prosecutor had that right when supporters of Costa and medical marijuana might not. U.S. District Judge Anthony W. Ishii did not rule on Escobar's request, but said it was in a gray area of First Amendment free speech rights versus the right to a fair trial. In the Philippines, starting this December or January next year, people in Dumaguete City wearing t-shirts, baseball caps, or backpacks with printed images of the marijuana leaf will be apprehended and either fined or imprisoned. The fines range between Filipino $500 and $1,000 for the first offense, a 60-day community service for the second offense, and both fine and imprisonment for not less than 6 months for the third offense. The local city councilor who sponsored the ordinance said proprietors or managers of commercial or business establishments found violating the ordinance will also be held liable. Back in California, Dustin Costa is facing a 3-count indictment, charging him with growing more than 100 marijuana plants, equivalent to nearly 9 pounds, with the intent to distribute. At the time, Costa was president of the Merced Patients Group, a private cannabis club in Merced, California, that had over 230 members. In 1996, California voters approved Proposition 215, which gives patients the right to use marijuana for medicinal purposes with a doctor's permission. However, in June 2005, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that the federal government could prosecute people who use marijuana for medicinal purposes. Costa was arrested shortly following the Supreme Court ruling. Addressing the DEA versus marijuana symbolism in the courtroom, the judge in the case acknowledged supporters of either defendants or the prosecution could be affected in the matter, quote, "This is one of those issues that cuts both ways," close quote.
$755,000. That is a big number to be sure, but do you know what this number represents? It signifies the total number of citizens in America arrested on marijuana charges in 2004. That's right, 755,000 of your fellow citizens were arrested on marijuana charges. That's an arrest every 40 seconds, and 9 out of 10 of those arrested are for possession-only charges. Does continuing marijuana prohibition make sense to you? It certainly does not to the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws and its members. I'm Normal's Executive Director, Alan St. Pierre, and if you too think that it is high time to end marijuana prohibition and replace it with a tax and regulate policy, please join and support Normal's 36-year legislative efforts to reform our country's misguided marijuana laws. You can learn more about Normal or become an active supporter by calling toll-free 888-67-NORMAL, N-O-R-M-L, or by visiting us on the web at normal, N-O-R-M-L.org.
Welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash. Today, I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Take a moment to join us at Normal to end marijuana prohibition in America. Just visit norml.org. Last night, I had the great pleasure of attending the High Times 6th Annual Stony Awards at B.B. King's Blues Club on Times Square in New York City. And let me tell you, folks, it was the sweetest smelling party in town last night, and just an incredible night of music and fun with the High Times staff and writers, along with Redman, Doug Benson, and Genji Kohan, the creator of the program Weeds, Carl Sagan's wife and Normal board chairwoman Ann Dryan, Charles Taylor, plus the Marijuana Logs' Doug Benson, all hanging out with the absolute hippest crowd in New York City. It really was a great night where the common goal of marijuana legalization was celebrated in force. A huge thanks to Steve Bloom, who produces the event each year. You can hear our interview with Steve on Monday's Audio Stash in our archive. Later in the show today, we have an interview from the Stonies with Normal Executive Director Alan St. Pierre, plus some serious 21st century funk from the group Herbal Nation. They performed live at the Stonies last night. First up today, here in the Stash, is our weekly conversation about the science of marijuana with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Mitch Earlywine is professor of psychology at State University of New York, author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and editor of the new book Pot Politics. Dr. Earlywine, welcome back to Normal's Daily Audio Stash today.
Always a pleasure, Chris.
Mitch, last week a psychologist who's participated in a study regarding cannabis and Alzheimer's disease postulated at the Neuroscience Society conference in Atlanta that the baby boom generation might have lower Alzheimer's diagnosis rates because that generation smoked pot in the 60s and 70s. Frankly, Mitch, could there be anything to this?
I think it's a little optimistic, but not inconceivable. The bottom line on this work is that we've never before understood that cannabinoid receptors were involved in Alzheimer's disease. And so there was a study on human brain tissue samples that showed that essentially folks with Alzheimer's didn't have as many cannabinoid receptors as folks who didn't have Alzheimer's. And that is a wonderful finding and really intriguing and tells us a lot about both the brain and the mind and cannabis in general. But to go from there to smoking pot prevents Alzheimer's disease is quite a leap. So fortunately there was another study, but this was only done in rats, where they give them this certain protein that basically creates some Alzheimer's-like symptoms, and then they found that if they gave them a cannabinoid, it seemed to help with some of the plaques that usually form in association with Alzheimer's. So we're getting close, but it's a little soon to say, hey, baby boomers aren't going to get Alzheimer's, so party on. And I would not recommend, you know, daily cannabis use as Alzheimer's prevention. It just doesn't seem to be likely just yet.
You know, that same researcher from Ohio State University said that the goal might be for scientists to find a way to administer THC or cannabinoids without causing the high. And with you and Paul Armentano, we've discussed the cannabinoid receptor blockers or antagonists. Is that the future for cannabinoid therapy in Alzheimer's, somehow letting cannabinoids into the brain while blocking what scientists call the euphoria effect or the high?
I think it's rather unlikely that those two are discriminable. Lester Grinspoon has been very outspoken on this, and in fact, the whole idea that somehow we'll find a THC that doesn't produce euphoria seems really, really strange to me. And yes, there are literally dozens of cannabinoids unique to marijuana, and they're all wonderful and have interesting properties. But the idea that there's one of them that's going to somehow decrease inflammation without producing euphoria is, curious, and I'm open to the idea. When we think about how things like aspirin work and other things that, decrease, vulnerability to problems from prostaglandins and other, other things that show up when you're getting neurodegenerative processes. It's intriguing how they handle inflammation, but those don't necessarily generate euphoria. I think we may be, finding something along those lines that could work, perhaps in combination with cannabis. But I think the tacit assumption that, causing euphoria is something bad is something we really need to question. How terrible would it be if we actually had a medication that brightened people's mood?
Let's talk about this a bit further. Why is the euphoria effect viewed negatively by scientists in this context?
That usually correlates with abuse potential, and when you've got a drug that has a toxicity, I can see where that's a real problem. Gee, if people are going to use this and create euphoria, but alternatively end up adding toxins to their systems, then that really is trouble. So the opiate drugs that we often use for pain certainly fall into that category because they can be very toxic and potentially lethal. Cannabis, fortunately, doesn't have a lethal dose, so I'm, unclear why this is such a problem. The other thing that people jump up and down about is that, this is a Puritan society. We're supposed to work for our pleasure and that kind of thing, and as my data and other folks' work suggests, that's not what, regular cannabis use does. You may enjoy cannabis as well as a whole, litany of other activities, and plenty of productive cannabis users are all across America, so this isn't a concern either. So I think this notion that there's a mild euphoria associated with a treatment is only important if the drug itself actually has some kind of toxic dose.
We'll hear some of those DEA and ONDCP drug warrior reps say that the only alternative to any type of intoxication is sobriety. But Mitch, how realistic is it for a given society to make stone-cold sobriety something that is very common?
It's almost laughable when you look at literally, over 5,700 years of, documented history where every culture except perhaps those in absolutely frozen areas have some kind of intoxicant that they use. And in fact, as soon as one is available, they're used. And that almost every culture has a history of drug safety. So they have rituals and social sanctions around how to use it in order to make sure that negative consequences are kept to a minimum. When you think about the Native American church and their use of mushrooms, when you think about folks who've used cannabis since 2737 BC, there's always social sanctions built in to make sure that people keep their use in reasonable levels. And then the irony is, we think, legislation is somehow going to keep people away from problems. But when you look at the progress we've made on tobacco smoking, for example, it's not that we made it illegal. It's that we spread the word that this causes problems, and now fewer people are smoking than they were years ago. And I think, cannabis is not completely harmless, but as people become more and more aware of ways to use it without causing any negative consequences, those are going to decrease as well.
And Mitch, how about those rituals here in America? Can we create them in our modern American society to regulate use?
Professor Craig Reinerman, who's at the University of California at Santa Cruz and has a chapter on this in my book, Pot Politics, points out that often older users will tell younger users what sort of the rituals are. They'll point out where problems begin. They'll point out what are the warning signs of use that's either too frequent or too large in its dosage, and people learn as they, get more and more experience. Because alcohol is less frowned upon here in the United States, I think everybody's willing to tell their story of getting drunk the first time they threw up, and then how they learned to avoid that in subsequent drinking sessions. Well, why wouldn't that be the same with a drug that's markedly less toxic than alcohol like cannabis? So,
it's just that we don't discuss it enough, I guess, out in the open here.
And I wish we could, you know, open some of that up, and some of that is, you know, all of us coming out of the closet and saying, hey, I do this, and I can do it without any negative consequences, and I'm happy to talk about that with anybody who's interested. But, you know, the normal website has wonderful guidelines and points out that, you know, marijuana is not for kids, that this is not something you do when you're driving, and otherwise, by all means, you know, do what it takes to have an enjoyable full life and let this be a supplement.
And going a bit further into the Alzheimer's story again, are the ways that we consume medical cannabis today, say vaporization, smoking, or edible products, are these the ways that cannabinoids could be used in the future to treat Alzheimer's disease? Will our traditional methods be the way, or will there be some different type of therapy?
I think it's extremely unlikely that people with Alzheimer's will benefit from medical cannabis the way it's currently administered. Once the disease has already taken its toll, it's really, really difficult to show progress. There may be some protective effect for folks who happen to be using it medicinally for other conditions and for recreational users as well, but those data just aren't in. If this protein, you know, these plaques that develop are actually decreased in folks who are regular users, that would be a step that would let us know we're on the right track with this. But I think that this is saying more about, you know, how the cannabinoid system works, and that recreational use may be a potential buffer, but I would not rely on this to minimize mental decline.
And Mitch, there are two drugs that are often prescribed to Alzheimer's patients, Donepezil and Tacrin, and overall Alzheimer's drugs generate over $2 billion a year in annual sales, yet these drugs have shown no real effect in treating the disease or really slowing its progression. So do we take prescription drugs just to take them in this country?
I think what happens is hope springs eternal, and I wouldn't want to see Americans lose that idea, but at least with Alzheimer's, once the symptoms are severe, it's very unlikely that there's going to be any improvement. I think we've got a lot more optimism about some of these potential preventive measures that include things like, you know, antioxidants and other chemicals that might decrease these sort of protein clumps, but we're just in the, you know, infancy of that research, and we'll have to see how it goes.
Mitch, this has been another wonderful discussion. Thank you again for joining us each week here on the Audio Stash.
I really enjoy it, and I'll talk to you soon.
Dr. Mitch Earlywine is professor of psychology at State University of New York, author of the book Understanding Marijuana, A New Look at the Scientific Evidence, and editor of the new book Pot Politics. We have links to the books at normalaudiostash.com, and you can hear a new interview each week with Mitch exclusively here on Normal's Daily Audio Stash. And now it's time to dive into the Stony Awards. We'll have more audio from the event later this week, and High Times will be offering a DVD here in the future. Steve Hager was doing some great video last night, so somewhere between hanging out with Danny Danko, Josh Gilbert from AKA Tommy Chong, and the guys from the Marijuana Logs, I managed to record this interview with Alan St. Pierre.
Live at the Stony Awards, Alan St. Pierre, director of the Normal Foundation, is here. Alan, this is the kickin'est party in New York.
Well, it's the Stony Awards. One would presume it would be kicking ass in other parts of the body. Let's say the mind.
And I love the accoutrement on the table. We've seen some invisible rolling papers here tonight.
Oh, there's really no better swag when it comes to marijuana culture. The High Times festivals and conferences like this just have great stuff. On all of our tables, we were greeted tonight with these wonderful papers, which are see-through. So I just have no idea what we're going to do in the dark trying to roll marijuana joints with these things. But I thought it's the coolest swag I've seen yet.
Now, we're going to see a lot of clips tonight. Who are you looking forward to seeing tonight?
I am looking forward most notably to the Weeds clips, and I have the pleasure this evening of giving the Stony Award for the best TV show, and I am going to guess, matter of fact, I'm going to strongly speculate that Weeds is going to win that show, an award, that wonderful functional utilitarian award, a beautiful bong. And I'm looking forward to meeting the producer and writer and creator of the show, Jinji Cohen. So that is really my my highlight. I think it's going to happen. But then again, ask me 3 hours later from now. We'll see.
So what are the Stony Awards usually like? This is early in the evening. The show hasn't even started yet. What's the after party like usually like going on?
The after party is quite remarkable. It's usually held off-site, usually at somebody's hotel room, and a lot of people indulge themselves, and I presume such will happen. We're joined here by Redman. We've got the Marijuana Logs here. We've got the entire High Times crew. We've got four normal board of directors, including myself. So I would say that tonight's after party will be one for the books.
And the Stony Awards are honoring entertainment. When you think back about sort of the movies and TV clips through the year, what would you give an award to?
Oh, I would probably give an award away to certainly Weeds for this TV show. I think it's just changed the culture to a large degree. It is barely fictionalized. It is only a few weeks ahead of the headlines today, and that's why I appreciate it. For me, the documentary of the year, without a doubt, has got to be AKA Tommy Chong. I do see Josh Gilbert here in the house, the producer, and so we will certainly get him over here for an interview and to talk, and Josh is... The fact that he's here tonight, I'm going to speculate that that's going to win the Best Documentary Award.
A great documentary it is to do. Showed at least in portion at the normal conference this year. It's funny that AKA Tommy Chong, Tommy got smoked out this year at the normal conference.
Well, that's true. And it's hard to liberate every square inch of America one by one. But I would presume that very few people here tonight, and there's about 500 people here, have not seen this movie, and that's unfortunate because it really is a great documentary, so hopefully tonight will help sell the movie to a distributor and people can see this amazing documentary about Tommy Chong's bust and his catharsis, and I should let people know that since the conference and since his numerous and very popular interviews on the podcast, Tommy Chong joined the normal board of advisors 2 weeks ago. So we're really glad to have Tommy on board officially.
So now Tommy Chong really moving into activist life, joining the board of directors at Normal. Alan St. Pierre, thanks for joining us. Don't want to keep you too long here. Get to the party here at the Stony Awards.
Hey, thanks, Chris, and I'm so glad you could join us right here in New York City.
That was Alan St. Pierre live at the Stonies last night. We'll have some more High Times Stony Awards audio clips in Normal's Daily Audio Stash later this week. Next up today, a track from the group Herbal Nation. These guys have an incredible sound with great music and great stage presence and great songs for pot smokers like this one, We Love the Herb.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it.
And it goes down smooth as...
Hey, is it 420 yet? This is Rick Cusick from High Times Magazine, and you're tuned into Normal's Audio Stash.
That was the group Herbal Nation with that one, We Love the Herb. They performed live at the Stony Awards last night. We have links to them at normalaudiostash.com.
76% of Americans no longer support arresting and jailing marijuana smokers, and nearly as many support the medical patients having access to medical marijuana. And over 80% of our citizens now believe the war on drugs is an ineffective failure. So the question is, when will the government's misguided war on adult marijuana smokers finally end? When? Simple. When you and your like-minded friends, family, and coworkers get involved with an organization such as the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws, also known as NORML. My name is Keith Strop, and I founded the organization in 1970. Contact us at NORML, toll-free, 888-67-NORML, or by visiting the organization's up-to-date webpage at www.normal.org.
This has been NORML's Daily Audio Stash, the growing truth about cannabis. Thanks to Podshow.com for all the great pod-safe music. We feature the band Carne Cruda as our theme. Make sure you visit our website at normalaudiostash.com. That's NORMLAUDIOSTASH.com for more information about every day's show. Thanks to Red Aphid Interactive Media for the podcasting technology. We're back at 420 tomorrow. If you listen to the Audio Stash, cast your vote at Podcast Alley or other podcast directory services. I'm your host, Chris Goldstein. Thanks for listening today. See you at 420 tomorrow. Podcasting technology of NORML is made possible by Red Aphid Interactive Media. More information at redaphid.com.